Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Live, and I didn't unmute myself. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live, so you can bring up whatever's on your mind.
I demand to speak to the captain.
He passed away early this morning. Oh, I'm just kidding. Terrible.
That's so mean to the listener.
Yeah, he's sick. I don't think anybody believed me, would they? No, I feel bad. He is just sick. He has, you know, something that is going around. So
it's flu season.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's COVID.
Yeah, so it's COVID season.
Yeah, don't you know that COVID completely replaced the flu?
Yeah.
Yeah, just kicked it right out of the ego system.
It's COVID season.
Yeah. Because that's how that works. And, you know, it's the new COVID. So, like, it's not like anything different from the flu. You know, none of the fun symptoms where, like, you don't taste anything, for example. That's gone.
Yeah, it just went away.
I never had that symptom.
I did.
Really? It is absolutely wild.
I had it in, like, almost nothing else. Like, I had a runny nose. I basically felt like I had allergies, plus I couldn't taste anything. And that was the first day I ever went to fucking great before even figuring out that it was going on. And I was like, this tastes like nothing. Like, this is terrible.
This is the worst fun I've ever had.
And then the next time I go, I was like, okay, now I can taste and it's awesome. But, yeah, so I had it, and you can, like, eat anything and not taste, and it's terrible. But I think that Captain said since he had supposedly COVID before, and it was, like, the worst sickness him and Mark ever had in 2021, he said that it's much better now, or this is much better. So it's probably not COVID. I don't know. But, you know.
Or his natural immunities have weakened the virus.
Yeah, well,
and variant.
And this is the natural course of all viruses, that they become more virulent but less deadly.
Yeah. I thought we were the type of show that talks about the virus. Viruses aren't real and stuff like that.
You know, it is an interesting perspective.
I know. I don't have, like, a belief about it.
It is weird that no one has actually isolated a virus.
Yeah.
That is really bizarre.
It is weird. And, like,
and surprising.
There are people
virus
out there,
is your god.
There are people out there going, oh, anybody who can prove me wrong and show me a virus, all right, you can do it and I'll give you $1 million.
Yeah,
and no one does it.
You know, you'd think there'd be some picture of an electron microscope looking at a virus and go, okay, there it is, right there.
Yeah.
So forgive my ignorance then. They showed a picture of what COVID was supposedly looking like.
Mm-hmm.
With the little
looks like a video game
out.
Bad guy.
Sure. What was that?
Yeah, that's called
imagination.
Drawing.
No, I got it. But you
see, when a person has a thing in their head and then they use their hands to make an image of a thing, that's different. So, like, you can do that with an angel, and I don't have to believe in angels.
Okay, so when they were talking about viral load and they could isolate in the microscope, like, what was coming out, there was no virus in their images.
Yeah, there never has been. Not just the COVID one. Viruses in general.
I got it. So
yeah,
how
that's the really weird part.
Mm-hmm.
How did they distinguish between spittle and the viral load then?
By people's symptoms. They're just like, oh, they have this and this and this. So
they have
a virus. And when I was in high school, they drew these creepy little metal-looking things that have, like, a triangle head and a sprout and legs. They told us that's what viruses look like, and that's never been seen.
I hear you.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. That is one of the wacky things, is that the images of what a virus is supposed to look like have changed.
Got it.
Like, they seriously look like these weird little AT-AT walker-looking things that, like, squat down, and that's how they inject their RNA.
They didn't measure viral load based on people's symptoms and what they were being told. They had people, like, cough, right? And then they caught the cough.
Well, they tried to do that. They tried to do that with the Spanish flu, I think it was, where they had people completely isolated. They took in people that were confirmed cases, had them cough all over them, eat after each other, and all this stuff, and they couldn't make other people catch it.
Okay, but what were I believe you, because I don't have any evidence to the contrary, but what were they catching, and what were they looking at?
I don't have a personal belief, like I'm like, oh, this is definitely it. But I've heard some things that make a bit of sense. I just don't know that it's definitely true. And what I would say is, a lot of people say it's like environment. Like if we're all around the same environment, like this studio.
Yeah, terrain theory versus.
Yes,
yeah.
That's what it is. Then,
well,
like,
and terrain theory, which is a completely different worldview of how people get infected. It looks like in evidence, it works exactly the same way as viral load.
Okay.
So your viral load is how many particles of virus does it take to get you in particular at this particular moment sick, and that has everything to do with, okay, well, how healthy are you? Have you been breathing fresh air? Did you just come in from the cold, so your body's working really, really hard to warm itself back up and doesn't have all of its chemical processes
going? So how are we distinguishing between virus particle and virus then?
Come again?
You said they're measuring how much of the virus particle, which is what
right,
I'm
saying. So individual particles of virus. So one, you know, viral particle can infect one cell.
Okay.
Right? So how many viral particles does it take to actually cause an infection with your body trying to fight it off?
Got it. So when you cough into their little thing and they go like, well, there's like, you know, 6 viral particles per million.
Well, how can you see a viral particle, but if you can't see a virus?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, it is a theory.
All of
these have to do with things that we cannot actually see.
The other thing,
they're measuring it. They're calling it parts per million or whatever it is. What are they looking at?
I've never heard this part, or at least I've never thought about it.
Yeah. All right. And basically, what ends up happening is that they will test for the parts that make up a virus, in theory. So on the viral infection belief system, you're just those are actual pieces of virus. On the terrain theory, those are broken pieces of cells that have died from toxicity.
Okay, and if the virus was created in a lab, what were they working on?
Good question.
It had to have been something.
I think all they had to do was pretend that there was people making a virus in a lab, and then start saying, uh-oh, 9 people dead, and then like people start going, and it's flu season.
And this is part of the actual unknown of the universe. Like, we don't actually know.
Yeah.
So maybe they weren't working on anything. Maybe they really thought they were working on these viruses, and, you know, they're taking little bits of this fluid and putting it in that fluid, and they're taking bits of that
fluid.
Maybe
because they believed
it. And
it spread because of people. Their belief was so strong. I don't know.
And that is one of the wacky things about humans is.
So COVID was all hysteria.
Well, I think it could be a large part hysteria.
It's
like, think about
not,
people who.
It's definitely not all hysteria, because at that point you would see that there was a bigger immunity to COVID in those that just flat out don't believe any of this stuff.
Okay.
And there doesn't there
I don't know. I think
any.
That I might have had that, because like I was like, I don't care. I'm going to keep knocking on doors. I don't want to be stuck in this hotel, because I was doing Young Americans for Liberty, knocking on doors. And my roommate got it and didn't tell anyone, because she was like, I don't want to have to be stuck in the hotel room. And I was like, I'm not going to get this. Like, I don't even believe that I'm going to get this. And the thing is, like, I had that allergies and not tasting anything. But everybody else was, like, terribly sick, like, dying. Like, she eventually had to stop going out and knocking on doors and, like, make phone calls and be bored all day.
I missed 0 days of work while I had it. I just went get it and spread it. But I was miserable for 2 weeks.
I wasn't even miserable. I was just like basically the same as having really bad allergies before I started Zyrtec in Texas. But the thing that makes me not believe in terrain theory, the thing that makes me think like something has to be real about it more than just vibes, is every single time Mark Edge comes from Honduras to New Hampshire and visits us, he gets me sick. And even the first time
he's
was like...
the one who got us all sick here.
He was sick, and it was not even that time. It was a time afterwards. And he started to get sick like a day after getting here, and he's like, Bonnie, I'm sorry I'm sick. But, and I was like, I don't
Have
care.
Have you considered that maybe he's just a toxic person?
I was like, I can't get sick. I don't get sick, like, since, you know, like, that COVID thing. Like, I hadn't been sick in over a year, so I was like, it's fine. I'm not going to get sick. I don't believe I'm going to get sick, and I won't believe... It didn't matter. I got sick. I got so incredibly deathly sick. Like, every time Mark gets me sick, it's really bad.
Because he's bringing something...
That's why
foreign to you.
It seems right. Like that has to be the case. Because if I know your conscious belief system is not as strong as your subconscious belief system, but I still think that I truly didn't even feel an ounce of like anxiety, like, oh, he's going to get me sick. I was like, okay, it's fine.
Well, I was saying,
and that is a serious question that I do have for terrain theory people, mm-hmm. is, okay, that is a thing. The people that travel around... They spread illness at a higher rate than would be explained by, like, oh, well, they're just spreading toxins over people. It's like, okay, why do foreign toxins have more effect on me than domestic toxins?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. That's, like, the one thing that does make sense.
Well, we didn't all get sick when the Ohio fire dropped a bunch of toxins on New Hampshire.
Right, but when someone comes from a foreign place and gets you sick... It's because they have got a natural immunity to it, being brought up in that environment.
Right.
And which, then you don't.
Which works if we're talking about microbes. Now, okay. if infections are not caused by microbes, which is what terrain theory states, well, if they're caused by toxins instead, then why can I adapt to this set of toxins? But and there's definitely a correlation between the further away that you bring your set of toxins, the more likely I am to get sick. Well, that doesn't make any sense if terrain theory is correct.
If it's still a toxin, regardless. I think you have to go back and remember like how sick you were as a kid. Like, kids are snotty little bugs.
I was sick all the time.
They're sick all the time, mm-hmm. and that's the period of time where they're building their immunity
right.
to local toxins or local microbes or local whatever.
I just looked on my phone.
When you bring something foreign, they don't have it.
I looked on my phone because I learned that a city in New Hampshire is named after the guy whose idea it was to give the Native Americans pox, whatever
the
it was. Yeah, the blankets with the, what is it, smallpox on it, and it's Amherst. I was like, well, why do we, honestly, like, if we're going to change city names and tear down statues, I feel like that's a pretty good one to change. It's pretty messed up. Like, no one should be in favor of liking him.
Like, we will totally get around to those Thomas Jefferson statues, but before we do that, could we change the names that we put in place because we were spreading smallpox blankets to the natives? Could we start there?
Like, was he famous for anything else? I don't know. Amherst?
Like, okay, we'll totally
that would be the most famous, regardless.
Could we maybe start with Albert Pike, who, like, basically created the Ku Klux Klan and still currently has... also fought for the South in the Civil War and currently has a statue in Washington, D.C. Could we start with that one?
He's a living person?
He's not a living person.
Not with the Civil War.
Wait, that doesn't make sense. I forgot you said that part. I was just thinking the Ku Klux Klan. I don't know when they got started. But you said he currently has property.
No, he currently has a statue in D.C.
Okay.
Like, there's a statue of, mind you, the only statue of a Southern general in D.C., and it's the guy who started the Ku Klux Klan.
Is he related to the guy who started the Illuminati in Bavaria?
Oh, yeah, no, this is the same dude.
That's the same dude. He has the same name.
He pretty much created the whole 33rd degree Mason thing.
In Germany?
No, in the U.S.
Okay, then I think I'm thinking of someone else.
Like, he brought the whole Scottish Rite to mm-hmm. prominence, and they're the really scary ones.
Yeah, I've heard that Scottish Rites are, like, not real Freemasonry. They're, like, masonry without the free.
Slave masonry.
Yeah, I guess. They just don't want to give it to everyone and I don't know. I don't know that much about...
Yeah, he wrote Morals and Dogma, that. Which is, I gotta tell you, one of the most scary books I have ever even attempted to read. It's like, people are terrible. They need to be controlled all the time. People are like steam, and if you can just push them through these pipes and not let them make decisions of their own, then you can harness their chaos for productivity. It's like, whoa!
Wow. Well, that sounds
okay,
like something...
See why
is he wrong, though?
Oh, it works.
Okay.
It is effective.
All right.
It is a very effective way to operate. It's, you know, evil and manipulative, and it has severe downsides, like not allowing human beings to invent or create,
all right,
which is where all of our resources come from.
I think it's messed up anytime, whether you're doing it positively or negatively, anytime you talk about people as if they're all the same. And, like, Jeremy Kaufman hates when people do it in a positive way, like blank slate theory. Oh, everybody is just as capable of being intelligent as everyone else. That might not be true. It's also not true that everyone is as stupid and moldable as everyone else.
Well, I will say this. One area where you can find common ground with, like, those people, communists and capitalists, is that if you assume people are evil, that's fine, right? Because the capitalist system... compels those evil people to be productive and sell their wares to people to make a profit. Like, you have to benefit others to benefit yourself. Mm. You can't just be mean and run steam through a steam pipe or people through a steam pipe and make them do what you want.
Well, free market capitalism, yeah.
Right. Yeah, like,
that's what I'm saying.
Jesus.
Well, so, I mean, different capitalism. So crony capitalism does the opposite. Like, you actually get way more money for being more evil if you have a system of regulations in play.
Right. But that would be like your fascism, your socialism.
Well, the crony capitalism, and that is what most people think capitalism is.
Got it. But the common ground is that, yeah, we can all assume people are evil, and let's find a way to make everything the most productive.
Jesus said in the Gospel of Thomas, which is like a Gnostic gospel, so who knows, maybe he didn't say it, whatever. Some people at one time believed Jesus said this and wrote it down. He said,
same with the robo.
The people who have gained a lot of wealth should rule the world. The people who love power should die or something like that. He was very violent in that one. But to me, that sounds like free market.
That makes me really think that there was a reason this one didn't get included in the club.
Right. He actually said some really good things and then some also really crazy things.
As Jesus said in my favorite fanfic.
Yeah, Jesus fanfic.
I don't know where it is in your Bible, right? But somewhere it says, like, the meek shall inherit the earth.
Yep.
Right? Because the wealthy all go to heaven. That's, you guys get what's left behind.
Yep, I think that's on the Mount of, the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, okay. It is on the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah,
so I think in Matthew.
That's not what he was talking about.
It may not be what he was talking about, but that's my interpretation.
That's your interpretation.
Yeah,
I see.
I think that you can interpret the Bible however you want.
Of course you can. That's why I'm interpreting that way. If the meek are going to inherit the earth.
So you're a Ferengi.
What's that?
I'm sorry, dude. I'm not that into Pokemon.
Well, yeah, it sounded like a mean word.
Wrong kind of nerddom.
Oh, okay.
No, this one's Star Trek.
Okay.
Like, hardcore nerddom.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, so Ferengi believe that you actually buy your way into heaven.
Okay.
So that's why their whole thing is about, like, no, you have to get as much money as possible all of the time.
But didn't you just say the opposite, that the meek inherit the earth?
Yeah, the wealthy people go to heaven.
Yes,
the meek get
Jesus
the
said
wait,
that
meek
the meek shall inherit the earth. And Richie said that, yes, that's because the rich are going to heaven, which he might be right about, given the space travel thing.
Okay.
I mean, that certainly seems to be like, you know, look at Elon Musk, you know, the Amazon guy, they all decide to go to space. Yeah, Bezos, Musk, they all go to space.
I think it's because they're materialists and they're like, I need to get out of here. I can only go to Mars, and they don't think about a spiritual realm.
See, they will literally ascend into heaven, leaving the earth to the meek.
Isn't that the same as the Babel, Tower of Babel? It's like the new version of the Tower of Babel, basically.
A little bit, yeah.
Like,
I mean, they're literally trying to reach heaven under their own power. That's very true.
That's
Whereas,
crazy.
Like, Tower of Babel, it's, hey, we learned how to bake bricks. We shall now reach heaven under our own power. And we're like, no, we can... literally send rockets to the moon.
From the top of that tower, you could see the curvature of the earth,
right?
It's just so weird how Jesus or God or whatever, since his Old Testament says in that, they were about to succeed.
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
Oh, yeah. Nothing shall be forbidden from them. oh, okay, that's a real problem. Now we have to mess up their language.
And their lifespan, I think? Or was that the flood, after the flood?
No, I think that one was at the same time.
Hmm.
I shall not always abide with them. Their days shall be limited to 120 years. Yeah, I think that was Tower of Babel stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah. If they were that close back then, I mean, just, I wouldn't trust anything else in that book.
It looks like we have, but the thing is, I think the Bible is all like analogy or allegory, but
sure.
That's another conversation.
And you see,
I think
the Tower of Babel was really about the orbital elevator, you see.
Yes. It looks like we have an unscreened caller. Not sure, what's your name, unscreened caller?
Is that me?
Yeah, you.
Hi, I'm Van. How y'all doing?
Hi, Van. What's on your mind?
Well, you bounced around a lot. You went from the COVID out of the scriptures and everything. And I just forgot what I was going to comment on. But, yeah, the Tower of Babel, yeah, that's pretty heavy, man. I do believe in the teachings of Christ and the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek also means humble.
Yeah.
You know, and you talk about materialism, which I struggle with, too. I just think there's so much of it, and it's so disgusting. And me, myself, I hope to get to heaven one day. And
well, then don't be meek, otherwise you're going to be left on earth.
Don't be meek.
I don't care about the earth. I'll be in heaven, you know. And but anyway, I just it's pretty deep, you know. And you talk about the Gospel of Thomas, and, yeah, I've never really read it. But
it's confusing.
It is confusing.
It's a bunch of sayings by Jesus. Ian and I, my husband who's in prison, just finished reading it together because we read a book about it. The book about it was way more interesting than it itself because it was just. We have lots of theories about what each thing meant, but it still was like a lot of it was really weird, like really out there. Like you said, women do not deserve to live. For if a woman becomes a man, then that's the only time she's able to, like, deserves to live. That's weird.
Wow.
So transgender, so Jesus.
Violently pro-transgender.
If you read the four Gospels, he liberated women.
Right.
He really did. A lot of women followed
I agree.
Him.
I agree that Jesus was very pro-women. The other thing is that particular verse did have a little note next to it that said this may have been added at a later date, and none of the other ones did.
Yeah, I bet it did. Well,
me too.
I'm sorry your old man's locked up. I mean, that's a bummer. I've never heard you on the radio before. And
any of us?
Is he doing I never heard you. I only get you all on Saturday nights down here. And I don't get you the rest of the week.
You're in for a treat, sir.
Oh, Ian's the one? Are you Bonnie?
Yeah, I'm Bonnie, and Ian is my husband who's in prison.
I've heard you before. Yeah, I've heard you, Bonnie. That was my sister's name.
Aww.
Cool name, my late sister. Yeah,
nice.
She was a cool girl. But I was going to ask about that too. The update on freaking there.
We'll give an update on Ian when we get back. Thank you for your call, Van. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You're USA News Update. Flu cases are surging across the United States with a 16% increase in positive test results reported last week, according to the CDC's weekly influenza report. Over a dozen states, including Alabama, Georgia, and New York, have reported very high levels of respiratory illness. And nearly 20 other states have levels classified as high, with six pediatric deaths bringing the total to 20 for the current flu season. Maine's top election official is removing former President Trump from the state's 2024 Republican primary ballot. Maine Secretary of State Shanna Bellows made the decision on Thursday.
I was duty-bound to follow Maine law to ensure that candidates, all the candidates who appear on the primary ballot, are qualified for the office they seek.
Bellows says Trump knew the risks for violence on January 6, 2021, and ignored them, which she believes disqualifies him from seeking office. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control in 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. 603-283-6160. In with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie. I muted you guys on purpose.
Censorship! More and more censorship on this show.
I know. Exactly. What's your name again?
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
And the actual topic we were intending to talk about at the beginning of the show was that Gypsy Rose Blanchard got released from prison after 10 years. And if you don't know who that is, this article luckily goes into, like, explains who she is first, so we can read that to you. Lee doesn't seem to know, didn't know until tonight who she was. This article from...
Way to put him on blast there, Bonnie.
Yeah, Lee doesn't know. From Kate C.
And dox me.
Oh, man, sorry. I keep forgetting that. I should have studied it before. Okay, anyways. Or practiced it. KTLA.com, it says, Gypsy Rose Blanchard, who was sentenced to 10 years in prison in 2016 for her role in her mother's murder, was released from prison in Missouri on Thursday and took to social media to celebrate her freedom. Gypsy initially made headlines after her mother, Claudine Dee Dee Blanchard, was found stabbed to death in her Springfield, Missouri home in June 2015. Oh, okay. What started as a case of a young girl plotting to kill her mother unraveled when it was revealed that Dee Dee had been lying about her daughter's medical conditions, which, according to Gypsy, included leukemia and muscular dystrophy, among other ailments. She had nothing wrong with her. That's the thing.
Sounds like the mom got what she deserved.
I know, right? Like, it's hard to feel any other way. So it says, experts believe that Gypsy suffered from Munchausen syndrome by proxy, now known as factitious disorder imposed on another, which is when a caregiver falsifies the appearance of health problems in a person under their care, most typically their own child. So she would do it. She would be like, Dee Dee, you have this and that, and don't talk when you're around these people, like the news camera crews or like the hospital people. And she was basically, she liked to do it because of the attention she got.
She got money too. Yeah, okay.
And attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's,
please help my poor daughter.
That's what they say. She's about afflicted. Why people get this way. Is like, well, okay, the money makes sense, but also they're like, this is so... It's like, you know how people can actually grow to love their physical ailments they have? Because they're like, well, I keep talking about my back pain, and then people wonder, what's wrong with her? Or, something to talk about. Or like, they feel sorry for me.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest hurdles with overcoming diseases and disorders is that people identify with what's wrong with them. It gives them a sense of who they are.
Yep. I think that that's a huge part about this lady. So she was like, I'm the caretaker of a disabled daughter with a wheelchair and everything. And she could walk the whole time, and she was fine the whole time. And when she got older, she found out about the internet. Her mom didn't, like, let her use the internet, but she was sneaking it.
Okay.
She met a boy, and he lived in, like, Wisconsin. And she lived in Springfield, Missouri. And she convinced him to come over. And then he came over in the middle of the night, and she gave him a knife and told him to go stab her mom, and he did it, and then they ran away together.
Sounds like true love.
And she got 10 years, and he got life. And that's pretty, that's like the most messed up part to me.
That he got life?
Yeah, his name was Gojon. His first name, I don't see it here, his last name was Gojon.
Sounds
Nicholas
like,
Gojon.
Sounds like he is a protector and a provider.
Mm-hmm. He was extremely autistic. Like, I saw a video yesterday. I'm not saying he can't be a protector and a provider. I'm just saying he was, like, real autistic. Not just, like, what's worse, Asperger's or autism? I can't remember.
Autism.
Okay, then he had, like, a really bad autism even, to the point, like, he was talking, you couldn't even understand what he was talking about. He's, like, moving on to another subject, makes no sense, and, like, looking at the ground.
But if you have Asperger's and you're waiting on hold, it's probably autism.
I don't get it.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Anyway. So it says, years of psychological and physical abuse, as well as being subjected to numerous unnecessary surgeries and medical tests, are said to be what drove Gypsy to want to kill her mother. And, like, the one thing I always wonder about this is, how did the doctors not know? Like, oh, you don't need a wheelchair. How did they not know?
Well, if she was not getting out of the wheelchair and they didn't, like, raise her from the wheelchair.
Yeah.
We don't believe you. And then they pull her up and then she just flops over and falls.
Oh my God.
Like, oh, missed another one.
She even stole.
I think it's really telling, actually, that the doctors did not stop this at any point. I mean, it's obviously in their best interest if you continue to come in for surgeries, continue to get this treated, whether or not it even exists. And, I mean, to somewhat circle back to our earlier conversation, I think that we really do need to start questioning the basically priest. Yes. I mean, it's essentially become a kind of priesthood.
Right.
Where people have the same level of faith in everything that someone says because they are a part of this specified training that they, number one, they can even change their own health to accord to what the doctor tells them it should be. So we really need to start focusing on, hey, these are just human beings. Even though they think they're gods, they're not. And they are just as motivated by profit and by being esteemed for what they do as anyone else.
Maybe so, but they have to be effective. If you go to the doctor and you go like, doctor, I'm sick, and the doctor goes like, take this medicine, and you feel better, right? You're like, oh, good doctor.
Yeah, but what if they're just like
drugs.
Treating the
whatever?
Yeah,
symptoms.
No, I'll grant you, drugs are effective.
Okay,
it's a shame we're not allowed to get them.
Well, even if you were allowed to get them on your own, like you are now experimenting, which you're more than likely to do, or more than allowed to do. But you go to the doctor.
I'm really not more than allowed to experiment with drugs.
Well,
I'm not sure which country you think you're in.
Well, you have the right to then, since you like the word
there
right.
We go.
Okay.
That's true.
But you go to the doctor, and the doctor has more intimate knowledge of the effects of those drugs than any person off the street will. And so he goes like, this is the one for what I see in you.
But you can also Google it at this point. It's like when I was in high school, my friends would come to me and be like, Bonnie, I found this in my parents' closet. What does it do? And I would know at that point because I started like reading on Arrowhead.
Okay.
But
so
that's a bad thing.
Google it and you'll find out that
if we were allowed to figure out what we're going to take instead, then there would also be a market for here's a program that tells you, okay, well, if you are taking this, you can't take this because it'll do this.
Well, Arrowhead does that. Arrowhead, if you go on there and look at even just like something like Percocet, it'll come up with the things you shouldn't take with it and stuff like that.
Nice.
So a listener in the chat has come up with a poem to teach a lesson about the whole situation with the boy getting life. He wrote, Gypsy Rose, don't do anything for hoes.
Well, that is not even a haiku, but okay.
It's just one line, I guess, so it's not a poem? So
it's a poem, it's a draft of a poem.
I mean,
okay,
it's
the first lyric.
What doesn't count as poetry is pretty subjective.
Yeah, isn't there like one word poetry or...
You know, if it's presented as poetry, it might be poetry.
I feel like there has to be people that are just, they go up there and they say one word and turn around and get cheers.
Probably. I'm sure that someone has won competitions that way.
So, I'm not sure if it's Mandela effect or not, but I consider myself to be a published poet.
Interesting.
I just can't find the book that I got published in.
What do you mean?
I got my poem published in a book.
But you just can't find it?
I can't find the book anymore because it's been so long and my parents don't have a copy of it anymore. And
you were like a kid?
Yeah.
Or like a teenager or something?
No, just a kid.
I would not be surprised. There are actually a number of companies that's kind of their grift, is they make your children more important by putting them and a whole bunch of others in this book of children's poetry.
Yeah, but I can't find
them selling you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I'm still published.
And your parents didn't buy it?
Yeah. No, they did. They just can't find it.
Oh, wow. Well.
It's been so long.
As far as the story goes, though, quick question. Why did he have to stab her if they were going to run away anyway?
I know. That's the thing I wonder all the time. It's like, he couldn't have come. They were going to run away anyway. She was asleep. He could have just come, got her and her things, and left however they left. Did you say? Never mind. And then left. And I don't understand why he had to kill her. Maybe, I think at that point, it's just revenge.
She was a threat to society. She could have done this to anybody as a caretaker.
Hmm.
How many caretakers have multiple clients?
Yeah, maybe she would just start care. If she woke up and Gypsy was gone, she'd be like, dang it, and then like go start caretaking.
Well, time to do this over again.
That's what they do.
That might be true. Do you guys want to talk to Squidward?
Put him on. This is the artist that I was talking about.
Squidward, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your beautiful mind?
It's your girl. Your boy, the evolutionary capitalist.
The second best evolutionary capitalist.
The preeminent evolutionary capitalist.
The penultimate.
did you see my offer to Free Talk Live host?
No.
Hey, what are you still doing here, Clueless? Clueless Musketeer? How come you're still here?
That's my maiden name, little weirdo.
Oh, I offered to pay the
Clueless
for everybody.
Oh, Clueless. Never mind. I thought he was saying my maiden name that sounds similar to that.
Well, don't say it now.
That's sitting too.
Doxy McGee.
That's it.
Yeah, what is with you and Doxy?
I thought he doxed me. I just thought he was being a little weirdo.
Clueless.
What is the offer? You didn't answer me. That's why you're being weird. Like, you said you were going to tell me an offer, and then you started saying something to someone I didn't know.
Because when I disproved that taxation is theft, I offered to pay everybody's filing fee for renunciation of citizenship.
He didn't make
no one's taking up my offer because they want to stay.
I didn't even get this. You offer something for yourself doing something. That's not how that works. You're supposed
Hold on, buddy.
No.
Don't tell him?
He will pay. If you, Peakless, I, or the captain, renounce our citizenship, he will pay the filing fee himself.
Oh, okay.
Bonnie too, and I'll pay Bonnie's first class ticket to Ukraine, Liberland, Palestine, or Argentina, where you can hang out with your boy Loco. How about that? You want to take up that offer?
You sound like first a freak. Class. Like, I seriously hate your voice. Just go freaking back to your parents' basement. You sound so gross, and it's just like, what kind of offer is that? Like,
I found it to be a legitimate offer. It's like the best thing he's ever called in about.
I simply don't trust him.
That's a fair response to his offer.
I just have plenty of reasons to reject my citizenship.
Like, the second I said yeah, he's like, okay, and then you can't complain about taxation anymore.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's the thing. He's acting like
no, you move the goalpost there. I'm going to continue to complain about being stolen from, even when I have the option of thief.
It's so stupid. It's like, I just think that if I renounce my citizenship, I'd just be worse off, and taxation would still be theft. He didn't prove anything.
Sometimes libertarians will say, like, we can't leave because there's a price to pay for leaving.
The
government charges you to leave to go to another plantation.
The other thing is, like, where else would I go that's better? Where would I go without taxes other than somewhere just, like, absolutely terrible? I'm not going to Siberia.
Well, and you have to be in a different country in the embassy of the U.S., or they won't accept your resignation as a citizen anyway.
You have to live in the embassy of the U.S. forever?
Hmm? No. You have to stay out of the country, though.
Oh.
So if you're willing to move, if you're like, you know, like Mark Edge, we talked about, he's in like Honduras or whatever. If you go like, I'm going to go to Honduras. Like, I had a friend.
He likes his U.S. citizenship.
Got it.
Because a good one.
I had a friend in Hawaii who moved to Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
And he renounced. He went through like the Dollar Vigilante. I can't remember.
Jeff Berwick.
That's the one. He went through like the Dollar Vigilante program to get foreign citizenship in South America, renounce your U.S. citizenship, and that was it. Like, he's gone. He did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're going to do that, and you think, like, wherever you go, Honduras, Paraguay, Argentina now, right? And you go like, I think it's better there for me, and I'm going to stay there and renounce my U.S. citizenship because it's better there than it is here. Well, then Squidward will pay for that.
Well, and if Elizabeth Warren manages to pass this bill of hers, then I think that'll be the case, where not being a U.S. citizen will be of a way bigger benefit, because she's making anything that helps you have a private key or a public key. Like, if you have a non-custodial wallet, you are officially a bank, and you have all of these requirements of reporting and all sorts of filing fees.
Oh, my God.
And if you don't do those,
we have a whole lot to say about it. But I want to let Ricky on. Ricky from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. What's on your mind, Ricky?
Thank you very much, Bonnie.
Another offer that we can't refuse.
Yeah, no. Peakless, you're terrible. No, brother.
I agree.
Richie, Peakless Mountain there. Well, I agree with that.
Just kidding.
Yeah, now I will tell you, that was a good call.
We all agree.
That was a good call on Miss Bonnie's part because, you know, Squiggy's the most untrustworthy person I've ever heard call into this program.
He's just boring and weird. It's like, do I really want to, like, just let Free Talk Live be creepy freak talking to me talk live? Like, I don't even
I mean, your audience
care.
Is libertarians, so.
No. Squiggy's horrible in more ways. How do they say it? 2 days of Sunday or whatever the hell it is? You know?
2 days of Sunday.
Anyways,
no. Side connection,
Sunday.
Brother.
Something like that.
There you go. That's it. That could be. And I don't
Seven
know,
ways to Sunday.
For me. No. I tell you what. No, Squiggy give me nightmares when I hear him speak. I mean, it's about all kinds of madness. There's got to be. Now, I just wonder though. Is it the result of brain damage or, you know, way too many hard narcotics?
He calls the entire show on Thursdays. He calls the whole time, and I hang up on him, and he calls right back. He has 3 hours of his life in his parents' basement to do that.
He has admittedly said on air he has Asperger's. So take that however you want.
Did I crack Ricky up? Is that what he's doing?
Maybe.
Sounds like him.
No, the man, maybe he's AI. Maybe the man's not even real. Maybe it's somebody who's getting paid. Joke.
Like, imagine doing that. You'd have to be getting paid.
Well, to be fair,
just the autism.
It is a lot easier to pretend to be an autistic human than to pretend to be a not autistic human.
And the other thing is, if he's autistic, why is he so stupid? Autistic people are usually pretty good at figuring things out. Instead, he's like, blah, 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 and doesn't make any sense.
Because he thinks he has. Right?
No,
he has created evolutionary capitalism. He's the only one that understands it. He can't communicate it properly because we're all just too dumb to get it like he is. He's above us.
No, believe me, I know, because Brother Ian put me as the last resort on the phone with Squiggy. And he was ludicrous. I mean, I totally destroyed him, but he was ridiculous.
I didn't know you guys were both on together. I didn't know that.
We were. It was a classic.
Now we know the answer for the drop downloads. Mark, there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but on to other things, though, something actually important. Now, this is something I want Peekless to get involved in. Now, Miss Bonnie's here.
Some
now,
MLM scheme.
I think it's important because, no, my predictions is just to show you how back they go, Richie. They go back to the Thursday night that Saudi Arabia and Egypt joined BRICS. So not just recently. Now, those predictions are a little older than you realize, so I want to get the terms of our bet that we're going to do in 2025 down pat.
Whoa! This is not my bet. This is between you and Richie Rich. I am, however, helping you clarify what your bet is.
I just need numbers, man.
I'll propose it. This is based on our last conversation. Now, once again, to reiterate, the predictions are very simple. Around July of 2025, gas prices are going to go sky high like we've never seen them before.
25? I thought it was 2024.
No, it's not 25.
Oh, okay.
2025. Okay. 2025.
So pause there. Pause there.
Why?
Why? Because this is the same conversation we had last week. You have to put a number on it.
Yeah, you can't just say sky high.
Otherwise,
we'll quibble about it.
You had a whole week to think about this.
Ritzy,
put a number on it.
Okay. What kind of number do you want, Rich?
It's your prediction. I'm betting against your prediction.
Okay, what's the highest gas price that I've ever been in this country? How about
probably,
we do that?
Probably $7 or $8 in California.
All right, I'll say it's higher. It'll go higher than $10.
Okay, so now we have a number.
There we go.
National average, highest in the highest, whatever happens to be reported in the country.
You say 8, Ricky says 10?
No. I'm betting against Ricky. Ricky says 10, the bet is that I don't think it will hit 10.
Okay.
So now that we have 10 as the baseline.
National average, $10 a gallon. All right, now we have a bet.
Here's the other one.
Sorry, I thought you guys
Now, here's the other one. By the end of 2025, the dollar will fall completely. Now, that's a good one, Rich.
I already accepted that
one. You're Richie Rich.
Yeah, I already accepted that one. I don't think the dollar's going to hit zero by the end of 2025.
Okay. Now, that's pretty good considering when I made prediction, no doubt.
Yeah.
Now, here's the third one. We will go into economic oblivion by the end of the first quarter.
But economic oblivion isn't a defined thing. They seem to not be able to get through to you.
Okay. I'll tell you what that is. Imagine this, when a country of 330 million people becomes a third world country. That's like a disaster of epic proportion.
And there's a definition, out there for third world country. So look up that definition and make sure that you're comfortable with that criteria.
Richie, worse than Venezuela.
Okay, hold on. So worse than Venezuela right now?
I would say at light speed.
Hold on. Worse than Venezuela is right now, or worse than Venezuela will be at the time?
Lightspeed has a value.
No, I would say worse than it is right now.
Okay.
On what metric?
Oh, come on, Richie. You know the problem?
No, it's a fair question. Like, are we talking infant mortality rates here?
That's part of third world country.
Are we talking inflation?
That's part of it.
Are we talking the separation of powers into warlords? Okay. What are we talking about?
Our money will be worthless. We can't pay our workers to do anything. We can't buy or sell anything. Nobody worldwide's going to want our money. You know, that's what's going to happen, and it's all because of the gold.
Well, hold on. So it's entirely possible, though, that, like, the dollar crashes completely, is no longer worth anything, and yet we don't turn into a third world country. I mean, especially up here in New Hampshire.
That's why it's two separate bets.
Yeah, I mean, especially up here in New Hampshire.
How are we going to pay our workers, guys? What are we going to pay them with?
Gold.
Hopefully most of the workers who are currently getting just dollars and, like, live in or work for government
this.
Just, like, go die or go somewhere.
There's three forms of payment.
Richie, I think you listened to the show, and I don't think you want to do this bet because Brother Ian already said I was right.
I already accepted the second one. We already have a bet.
What did Brother Ian say he was right about?
He said the night I'd made these three predictions, the Thursday night Saudi Arabia and Egypt joined BRICS, that Thursday night I made these three predictions, and he said I'm right.
Okay.
Me and Pico's already talked about the gold discussion, you know, as far as how we're going to deal with it. You know, so, I mean, Richie, I know you're trying to weasel out of this.
I'm not trying to weasel out of it. I already accepted the second one. We already have an agreement for 5-.
Richie, why don't you just accept all of them, you know?
Because you haven't defined anything.
Yeah, we need yes or no things.
Why do
you
know?
Something
you can,
we need something
because
that
it's
you can,
complicated.
We need something that you can say this either is or isn't the case.
Wait a minute, I'm making the bet here, so it's my term. So you got to give me counter terms.
But then they don't have to.
No.
They don't have to accept
I'm just accepting or declining your bet. And I've accepted the bet, like we have 5- on the line, that you think the dollar will reach zero.
Yeah.
The dollar will reach zero. I'm accepting that bet. I don't think the dollar is going to reach zero.
But Ricky does.
So we've
by
already
2025.
We bet that last week. What?
That's all right.
The only thing that changed between
the Republican Party fragmenting too, so that's wonderful.
The only thing that changed between last week and this week is you now have put a dollar value on the gas at $10. And now I'm negotiating that $10, right? Is it national average? Is it peak in the nation? You know, like where are we going to look to see where gas is?
I thought we agreed on national average.
Well, you brought it up. I did not hear Ricky agree to it.
But also, Ricky, do you agree to that national average for the gas?
Yeah, national average sounds good, and you have me a hold. I didn't even know it, but I'm glad you did.
We're about to be on.
I will accept that bet. I don't think gas is going to hit $10 national average.
He also said the thing about third world.
But there's another 5-.
So we're two out of three. We're 2 out of 3.
Okay. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. There's more coming up.
I'm not weaseling out of anything.
You weasel. I also call him Brother Ian. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Tahi Boutique Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.